Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh my goodness me! What a fantastic goal! What a goal! That is absolutely superb!
Huge cheers go up around Emirates Stadium.
A very happy new year as we welcome you to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the first time in the year 2018. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on today's show, Callum Chambers on his 2017 and hopes into the new year. We look at the letter Q in the A to Z of Arsenal. Adrian Clarke previews Wednesday evening's huge London derby against Chelsea. We kick off by looking back at the Christmas calendar with our Arsenal Insider.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, former Arsenal midfielder Perry Groves, I'm delighted to say, is our Arsenal insider in depth. Perry, thank you for hopefully setting the bar high for 2018. Good to have you on the show. How's it going?
Yeah, it's good. Happy New Year. Let's hope we win a couple of trophies.
You made your way back from deepest, darkest Norfolk, I believe, over the festive period.
Yeah, it was very quiet. I'm glad to get a phone signal. You don't realise how much you miss your phone. You can't get it soon. I've actually used a telephone pay box first time about 15 years, so that was lovely.
Well, it's good to have you back and back with good reception. And we'll start, I think, with the Palace game over the course of the festive period. As you, of course, covered it for the Matchday show, didn't you? And an all-important 3 points at that point for Arsenal.
Yeah, I must admit, I thought it was a really impressive performance. Palace had been unbeaten in 8 games before that, and it was probably a bad time to play him, you know, if it was said playing in 5 or 6 weeks, they'd have been nailed on. But I thought we started off very, very well. I thought the passing was crisp. I thought our closing down was crisp. And if you're being hypercritical, going in only 1-0 up half-time, you know, we could have been a little bit more ruthless. I thought, you know, the amount we was on top, Palace was a bit leggy. And I thought we just needed to kill them off, you know, just to not keep them in the game. But I thought the first half performance was very, very good.
And Perry, just like so many times in the year 2017, it was Alexis who then secured the points.
Benteke tries to measure a pass out of his own penalty area, but just gives it to Callum Chambers, who chips it for Alexis Sanchez. And now it's with Alex Lacazette inside the area. And Sanchez with a shot and finds the corner. Well, there was hardly anything to aim at there. And he's beaten Speroni in his near post. And Arsenal are back in front. And that is a sumptuous strike from Alexis Sanchez. We are back level. Koscielny is stationed. Now it's with Mustafi. And Wilshere on the halfway line. Central position. Chips it forward. Looks for the movement of Alexis Sanchez inside the box. And finishes. Brilliant ball forward. Terrific control. Real composure. Arsenal have a third. And it is no more than the Gunners deserve. Palace peg back Arsenal. Courtesy of Townsend. But the afterburners have been put on here. And Alexis Sanchez at the double.
Yeah, sure. Obviously, we went 1-0 in the first half with Mustafi, which was a real like cool finish, you know, for a centre half. Normally, they'd blast him over the bar, precisely. And I was doing the co-commentary, and I said, doing the match that show, and I said the only thing that could hinder us would be if we were complacent in the second half, and we were. We just topped off it for about 4 or 5 or 10 minutes, and that allowed Palace to get back in because they looked leggy in the first half, and then when Anders Townsend scored, made it 1-0, it gave them a lift. But then you need a little bit of character, which we did. And as you said, Alexis Sanchez getting his first goal, which was a lot better goal on second look when you look at it on first, because the quality was in the short back lift that he took. You know, Lacazette did well. He kept it alive in the penalty box. And because Alexis Sanchez got such quick feet, then he got his shot away so quickly and it went inside, obviously, Speroni's right-hand post. But it was the short back lift, and that put us back at 2-1. That just sort of steadied us down a little bit.
And Perry, that is symptomatic of Alexis at his very best, isn't it? And OK, we've not seen a huge amount of that so far this season for various reasons, but when he's really confident and on song, the quick feet and the quick bat lift are two of the key things that he brings to the table, aren't they?
Yeah, very much so. And I thought that the link-up play with the front three, I thought was absolutely first-class. Well, Lacazette did well. I think he held the ball up really well. And he allowed Sanchez and Ozil to join in with him. I thought they were outstanding. And there's been a lot of rubbish talked and written about Alexis Sanchez in the last two or three weeks, and I've sort of come to his defence. But a lot of pundits have been saying that he's down towards it, he hasn't been trying. And that's just a load of rubbish because I've watched every game. He hasn't played, as you said there, he hasn't played particularly well, and he's been giving the ball away more than what a quality player like him should be. But it's not due to lack of effort. You know, you have to separate the two things. Just because someone's having a bit of a bad spell doesn't mean to say they're not trying, and I don't think you could ever throw that at Alexis Sanchez.
Now, Skodran Mustafi opened the scoring. Let's hear his thoughts post-match, speaking to Arsenal media.
Well, you know, it's always difficult when you come to places like this, when you have to adapt to different football. You know, our idea of football is different. Short passing, play. But when you come here, you have to adapt to their game, especially when you don't have the ball. But I think, yeah, we did well. I think we conceded. The first one was a little bit unlucky, and the second one was a corner, which we have to defend better. But I think overall, we did well.
So a big day for Mustafi, and on Arsenal then rolled to the Hawthorns to take on West Brom, and such frustration not to get three more points.
Yeah, very much so. If you're being, you know, perfectly honest and brutal about it, it wasn't the free-flowing performance that against Crystal Palace, and it was both teams looked a bit leggy, a little bit tired. There was no sort of spark or inspiration. And what you need to do is you just need to win those games. You win those games 1-0, then people forget about the performance. You say, yeah, very professional, very gritty. You know, you sort of dug it out. And that, what looked like was going to happen when we got, obviously, the own goal from James McLean. And we were probably the better side with possession on balance of play. And then, unfortunately, you're in the hands of the officials to make the correct decision. And, you know, I know we've got red-tinted spectacles on in the podcast or whatever, but you have to say, I jumped to the defensive referees and linesmen because they have to make an instant decision very quickly, and we can overanalyse them. But that one, even in real time, you thought, no, I can't see how that penalty's been given.
No, I agree with you. When you've got a player who's got his arm pushed inward, it's from very close range. The ball would have hit the body had it not hit the arm. I just felt very unlucky on someone like Callum Chambers, who's had such an up and down time and was just having a good game and trying to reassert himself as well. It's not going to boost his confidence, is it?
Well, I think, do you know what happens? It doesn't. It's not, because if he's given a penalty away where he comes sliding in, you know, to take someone out, or he raised his hand in an unnatural position, which it wasn't, then I think you'd beat yourself up. But as a player, you're just looking at thinking, I've been really unlucky there. And I think it was a surprise to a few that he came back in at Crystal Palace, because Rob Holding's been, you know, in front of the pecking order, and he played very well there. He played very well against West Brom. And I just think it's just one of those things. And I know that, obviously, Arsenal wasn't particularly pleased, and he's been quite damning of Bishop probably about the last month or so. And he's not saying that they're not any good, but I think he believes that they could be a little bit fitter. And unfortunately, we've just gone on the end of a poor decision.
Oh, you mentioned Arsene Wenger. Let's get the boss's thoughts, Perry, on that frustrating day in the Black Country.
After, maybe we haven't played well enough. Well, that's down to you to judge. But these are two things. You cannot have West Brom has 5 days to prepare a game like that. We have three. I'm ready to play every day as long as our opponent has played the same time recovery over Christmas. But it's not normal. And we have the same problem again against Chelsea. They played yesterday, we play on Wednesday, they have 1 day more again.
So, 5 points so far over the festive break, and needing a big run of wins, as Arsenal had been on a few weeks prior, is proving tough, but it's very needed, isn't it? Again, with top four, very gettable, but teams just pulling away a little bit.
Yeah, I think we need a big game coming against Chelsea, one of your main rivals for the top four positions. Liverpool have shown a bit of consistency. I think they're unbeaten about 13. Spurs have won four of the last five, which is, I shouldn't have said that word on our podcast, actually. I apologise, that's like swearing, isn't it? But the other mob up the road. We've got a big game coming up against Chelsea, and we played well at Stamford Bridge and got the draw. And I think at home, we're very, very confident, and you know, we're very free-flowing. So Hopefully Mesut will be OK and then we'll be fine.
As a player yourself, how difficult and disjointed is it when you've got more games than normal but on days you're not used to playing as well?
Yeah, that's the key because, I'm a big... Players can play two games a week. You can play Saturday, Tuesday or Thursday and Sunday. That's not a problem. It's when you've got the four games in 9-10 days, you're not in the right rhythm. And I don't care what anybody says, I know they say, oh, footballers just playing a game of football, but whatever job you do, if you come out of your normal working pattern, your shift pattern, your sleep is deprived a little bit, you're a little bit more tired physically and mentally, and it does make a difference. So I just think over the Christmas period, which we love, there's one game probably too many, and that, a lot of the managers are, saying that. But that's the beauty of English football. That's why everyone loves the festive period and New Year period because you get such a plethora of games. So it comes more into your mental strength now as well because you will feel a bit fatigued, but the mental side of it has to get you through. And if you're playing well and winning games, you don't feel as tired. It's amazing if you can score the first goal, especially against Chelsea, then that tiredness goes away.
And Perry, just finally, we'll talk more about the Chelsea game with Clarkie in a few minutes at the chalkboard, but it's then FA Cup third round weekend, a classic fixture in the calendar against Nottingham Forest and probably more rotation as we've seen in the Europa League and the Carabao Cup, would you expect?
Yeah, very much so. I think obviously there's players that will need some minutes under the belt. We mentioned Rob Holding earlier and probably Theo Walcott will get himself right out and Debussy. So even though we put, I'd call it more of a sort of a second string rather than a weakened side because even when we put out, our Carabao Cup teams or FA Cup teams, the Europa team, you've probably got 8, 9, 10 full internationals and some excellent young players. Obviously, we've seen Reece Nielsen come in and Maitland-Niles and Joe Wood. So it'll be a strong side. And also, Nottingham Forest have just had the sort of turmoil of getting rid of their manager. So hopefully they won't have a new manager by then because you don't want to take someone when they've got a new manager about. So I think Nottingham Forest should take their time, consider their options and probably take about another 10 days before they announce a new manager.
That sounds like an excellent plan from Arsenal's point of view. Perry, all the best for 2018 and thanks so much for coming back onto the podcast, Paul. We've really enjoyed it.
Absolute pleasure.
Young defender Callum Chambers returned to Arsenal's starting 11 over the Christmas period. He's been speaking to us about his hopes for 2018.
Callum, when you look back at 2017, how do you reflect on it?
It was a great experience for me. Going to Middlesbrough and having the experience I did there, meeting the people I met, getting the game time I got, it was amazing. I can't thank Middlesbrough enough for giving me that opportunity to go there. I think as a player, it's improved me massively. And as a person as well, going up there, living on my own and doing all that. So it was a great experience last year. And unfortunately, Middlesbrough got relegated. I was gutted. I couldn't sort of do any more to help with that. But as a decision, I can't thank the club enough for giving me the opportunity to go there.
And then obviously you went off to the Euros with England. What was that like?
Again, it was another great experience. Unfortunately, we got beat by Germany in penalties. But the team, we had a great team. The team atmosphere is unbelievable. It's a big tournament to be involved in as well. And, luckily I played in every game. And I take those experiences with me and the things I learned there. And, obviously sharing a room with Rob as well was good fun. So they're happy memories for me.
And you've come back to Arsenal now. You're fighting for a place in the first team. How are you finding it since you've come back?
To be honest, a bit frustrating. I've been injured for a lot of it with my hip. I'm getting back to full fitness now. I've been training for a few weeks back in regular now. So I just want to get back fit and play games, get games under my belt. It's been a bit frustrating for me for the start of the season, but I want to push on from here.
And what are your hopes for 2018 then?
Again, I just want to get back fully fit and just play games, get game time. I want to prove myself. As I said, prove myself to everyone that I can do it.
The A.
to Z.
Or Charlie George, who can hit him. Oh, a great goal!
Arsenal.
Burkamp has found Pires. Pires towards Henry. And Arsenal found a goal!
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Q is for Niall Quinn. The big man joined us in 1983 and scored on his debut against Liverpool after netting 18 goals in 18 reserve team games. In total, Niall played 67 times, scoring 14 goals before moving to Manchester City in 1990. Q is also for Queen's Park Rangers. We've played the Hoops some 53 times, winning 24 of those encounters, including this late winner in 2012.
Lovely dink cross to the back post. Giroud's there, saves us, saved it again.
First time I've held the ball up in the middle of the box for Giroud to go and attack it, and he's got out there, and you thought Cesar was going to keep it out again, and it's pinned around off the post, I think, from back off the bar, and luckily Arteta was there to just put it in the net, and to be fair, it's like a big sigh of relief has just gone around the ground.
Finally, Q is for the Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park, home of the London Stadium and West Ham. We drew a blank there in December, but it was the Alexis show during our first visit there last season.
Mustafi. Good control by Alexis. Got away from his man. Alexis Sanchez still going. Alexis Sanchez, wonderful goal. Pure class from Alexis Sanchez. Arsenal double their lead. Oxlade-Chamberlain in Arsenal. Dominant side here. There's to be another goal, you have to say it'll be Arsenal at the moment. Özil. Xhaka, oh, nearly found Özil. Alexis, he's got Ramsey with him. Alexis goes on his own, and Arsenal have got the third goal, and that is game, set and match. Ramsey, look at the spaces out there. Oxlade-Chamberlain. Alexis Sanchez, the flag has stayed down. He's on for a hat-trick here. Is it five? You bet it is. What a finish. Cheeky, and Alexis has bagged a hat-trick.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
Well, joining us at the Chalkboard for the first time in 2018 is the one and only Adrian Clark. Clarky, Happy New Year. How's it going?
Yeah, thank you very much, Russ. Yeah, same to you too. Let's make it a good one.
I hope you're wearing some kind of purple marini jumper because myself, Liam Roberts and indeed Alecky are all weirdly wearing exactly the same thing today. So I trust you followed suit.
It's blue, but I've got a shade of. I have actually got a shade of purple in it.
Good, yeah, good. You're counts. Suitably uniformed. We're happy to hear it. Clarky, what are your New Year's resolutions, first of all?
Oh, my New Year's resolutions. Oh, goodness me, you put me on the spot there. I am going to make the breakdown even better than it has been in previous years. But I don't really have any massive New Year's resolutions. What about yourself, Russ?
I think probably similar to you, just kind of, you know, cracking on with more in 2018 and hopefully delivering the best we can for this fine club. Talking of which, New Year's resolutions for the club, for Arsenal.
Ooh, That is a good one. Personally speaking, I think I would like to see the club look to revamp the squad and rebuild it during 2018. I do feel that to challenge, you know, the likes of City, who are way ahead at the moment, aren't they? But we probably just need to freshen up the first team group. And I think that would be really exciting, actually, for the supporters and for all the players involved. You know, every now and again, I think you need that injection of fresh blood and new talent to get everybody excited and just to sometimes bring a fresh energy to the whole training ground, to the match day, etc. So I think that has to be a resolution. And also, we've got to be looking to make ourselves harder to beat away from home. I think, 11 defeats in the calendar year of 2017 was too many. So, those two resolutions, nail those, and I think we can look forward to a better year ahead.
Of course, players being at their sharpest, Clarkey, is critical for a game like Chelsea on Wednesday evening. It's a massive game and a chance for Arsenal to close back into the top four, as we were discussing with Perry Groves just before you.
Oh, absolutely, yes. No, it's a huge game. But I'm not worried about Arsenal on home turf. I think at Emirates Stadium, the team has by and large performed excellently. The drive has been there. The tempo against the big boys has been absolutely outstanding. I thought the performance against Spurs was wonderful. And against United, let's be honest, we just ran into David De Gea in superhuman form. Liverpool, the comeback was immense. Even though the start wasn't so good, so no, I think it's a huge game. And after the frustration of what happened at the Hawthorns, I would expect a positive reaction.
I thought that Arsenal played very well against Chelsea at the Bridge earlier in the season. I commentated on that game, and it's a game that Arsenal could and probably should have won. Chelsea since, though, have really improved. I mean, it's four wins and a draw in their last five, isn't it, for the Premier League champions?
Yeah, they're flying at the moment. They're a pretty well-oiled machine, Chelsea. Obviously, 5-0 last time out against Stoke, who are all over the place at the moment, it has to be said. But yeah, they're just not conceding very many goals, Chelsea. They are very resolute. We know that was the sort of cornerstone of their title success. So even though David Luiz, who was a big part of that, isn't involved at the moment, they're very, very well disciplined at the back. And going forward, yeah, they've got quality players, haven't they? I think, unfortunately for Arsenal, running into Chelsea, possibly in the best form that they've been in the season so far. I commentated on them at Everton, where it was only a goalless draw. But even then, they absolutely bossed the majority of that game. They should really have scored three or four goals. So, look, make no mistake, this game will be every bit as tough as the Liverpool and the Man United test.
Clarkey, how do you expect Chelsea to line up for this one then? Because Andreas Christensen, I've been very impressed with. He's been a bit poorly in recent weeks and has sat out a couple of games. You've got that whole option of Willian, Pedro, Hazard, or maybe playing behind Morata or Hazard as a false nine. There's a lot of things that they can do, aren't there?
A lot of options, yeah. Basically, plan A appears to be Morata up top with Eden Hazard floating in behind. And I must say that whenever I've seen them operate together like that, they've been brilliant, and even though there's only two of them compared to the three that we see in the other shape, that they've got more than enough ability to cause problems. The other option, of course, is to have two players in behind. I guess it would be Willian. I mean, sometimes we've seen Hazard as a false nine, Willian and Pedro floating around as well. But I think it's Morata's bit; he'll play. What I will say is that last time we played against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, the defenders were brilliant. They were absolutely outstanding in the way they handled Alvaro Morata, who I rate highly, but they really got into him. They were very physical, resilient, and basically roughed him up. I'd like to see that happen again.
Not as physical as David Luiz on that particular day, thank goodness. Clarkey, let's finish then with your five-second team talk. If you're Arsene Wenger standing in that tunnel, what are you going to say to the boys?
Channel all the frustration that you feel about what Mike Dean did to you at the Hawthorns with that penalty decision. Channel it and use it to punish Chelsea.
Now we need to channel a very different emotion now as we prepare to lock horns for the first time this calendar year in this
Reign of Arsenal.
how I have awaited the return, having actually finished 2017 on something of an upward curve after a pretty wretched run before. Liam Roberts, purple-shirted as discussed. Good to have you back. How's your festive period?
It was very nice, actually. I've had a few days off, so it was. I feel refreshed. And speaking of New Year's resolutions, I thought you guys might go with the someone get into week four.
Ooh.
I want to see someone get beyond week three with these questions.
I didn't even know week four existed.
I didn't even know week three existed for me. But
yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it? So, so hopefully, Russ, maybe you'll get one step closer. You're on week two answering your questions on Matteo Flamini.
Yes, I am.
Adrian, you're coming in on week one with Steve Bould. I think we'll start fresh. So, Russ, you're slightly behind in the standings, so would you like to go first or second?
Yeah, less behind than I expected. I was delighted by your totting up last week. Good job I bought you those couple of pints. I'll get it out of the way. I'll try and set the stall out. I'll try and go first.
OK, then. So, four questions, week two, and Matteo Flamini starting now. Question one, which two squad numbers has Matteo Flamini worn for Arsenal?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, 20-something. Oh, this is a nightmare.
Squirming early.
Very early. 23 and 4... No, 4, no, 3.
I'm going to put you out of your misery. It was 20 and number 16.
Right. OK, good start.
Good start. OK, question two. What's the name of his green energy company?
GF Biochemicals.
Correct. Nice. Okay.
Less plastic in the world.
He's got the tagline, so no extra points. Question three. Which season did he win Serie A with AC Milan?
'20, '10 to '11.
Correct.
Oh, good one, that.
Thank you.
And question four, when was Matteo born?
He was born 7th of March, 1984.
Correct. 3 out of 4.
Glory to a full sense of security there.
Yeah, nice recovery. Nice
Thank
recovery
you.
There.
So,
good knowledge, Russ. Good knowledge, mate.
Cheers, boys.
So, Ada, you're going to need 100% to take it.
OK,
so, here
you
go.
All right.
Four questions, Steve Bould, week one. Which piece of history did Steve make in August 1992?
Oh, I thought I had a mental blank there, but no. He scored Arsenal's first ever Premier League goal.
Correct. I do like that question. What year did he become our assistant manager?
Right, he retired, didn't he? 2012. Yeah, 2012.
Correct. Question three. How many goals did Steve score in his 11 years with us? 11 years.
I did look at this earlier. I'm not 100% sure I've remembered it correctly. That's a tough question for week one. I'm going to go with 8.
He scored 5.
5?
5 goals. Not even a goal every 2 years.
Is that just in the Premier League or in all competition?
I was
thinking all competition.
Okay, Stuart's inquiry. Okay, I'll double check that, but we'll get to question four, and then if you get this one, I'm going to double check it.
Okay.
Question four: how many England caps?
2.
Okay. Stuart's inquiry, it's in, and actually Russell Hargreaves has done the research. Can you reveal how many goals?
I'm not happy about this. I'm not happy. I think the initial decision should stand, otherwise it makes a mockery of the entire point of the tournament, of the podcast, of life, quite frankly. But on the counter side to that argument, 372 all-time Arsenal appearances in all competitions and 8 goals.
Adrian Clark takes it in controversial style. First one of 2018.
This is why 2018 is the year where we have to bring in video technology, not just on the pitch, but also with the Brain of Arsenal.
Are we going to have one appeal per Brain of Arsenal now? Because I don't think there's enough time in the podcast for this. So, Adrian, you take it 4-3. Week three is now just a distant memory. We're starting from scratch. So, Russ, I'm going to have to ask for a new subject.
I think I always like to have a little thread between what I did and what I failed in. So I'm going to say the man who signed for Arsenal just before Flamini in the same season. I'm going to say the life and times of Wake Me Up, Yaya Sanogo.
OK, that's going to be quite interesting to research.
Clarkie, well done, mate. You've extended your lead a little bit there, but good work. When can we see or hear you next?
I will be on the Matchday show this weekend for the Nottingham Forest game. Really looking forward to that FA Cup 4 o'clock kickoff. And I'll be pulling out a breakdown on Thursday of the Chelsea game.
And a new improved breakdown, which is, of course, your New Year's resolution.
I'll do my best.
The final word this week goes to our club captain, Per Mertesacker, with his thoughts on Thomas Radzicki, who announced his retirement from the game shortly before Christmas.
Every time he was on the pitch or he came onto the pitch, you know, he made an impact. No matter what minute or how many minutes he played, you know, he was just fantastic for you as a teammate, for the fans, because of his dedication to the game. You could always feel that he has got something to give. And he had a gift. He was a lovely footballer. And I think he matched brilliantly to the Arsenal way, to the Arsenal, to the way Arsenal is working, and with his technical ability and his speed. He was kind of that magician, you know, you see once in a while. And standout memories, I would say, when he scored against Tottenham, you know, when we had that year when we scored five. I think those are the moments you will always remember. But him and myself, we are quite close. Therefore, I'm a little bit biased, but as an Arsenal man, you love him because he's that character you're aiming for as a teammate, as someone being next to you on a pitch, because in an instant moment he can make a difference. So I'm very pleased, you know, because I played against him in the Bundesliga. I would never have thought I would play with him, actually, together. So to have kind of that career and played alongside him is an honour to me. So I would just thank him for his contribution, you know, to the game of football and to Arsenal Football Club, and the impact he had on so many players and on coaches, on staff, on everyone involved to Arsenal. I think everyone appreciates him so much.
Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Callum Chambers, to Per Mertesacker, to Perry Groves, and of course to Adrian Clark for their contributions today. We'd like to know how we're doing on the podcast, so please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. You can subscribe as well, and also find us on Acast these days. Remembering to get your questions into Clarkie for the Chalkboard on Twitter using the hashtag Arsenal Weekly. We're back on Monday, the 8th of January, and until then, it's bye for now.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.